for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, July the 6th, 2002. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister of the afternoon.
Well, I count it a privilege to have all of these ministries come and minister by music and by piano and organ and song and the viewer and everything it takes to have the ministry of praise and worship and the word of the Lord. Amen. But that's just amazing to me that Cheryl, that Chuck prophesied to Cheryl, and here she read it back to him, and here again. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Jim, come and
praise the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. We thank God again for He allowing us to be here. I've been ministering to the Lord since last evening, and trying to understand and hear the mind of God.
Amen.
And I didn't think that, to be quite frank about it, I would be able to stand before you this evening. And but nevertheless, God is graceful. There is such a work that He desires to do in all of our lives. And may I just share with you for a moment before we get into our text how important it is for us to love one another, to be in submission. While we were in worship, the Lord placed a scripture on my heart in the 11th chapter of Mark. Won't we turn there for a minute? Let me just share what he says, because I've been waiting to listen, hear from him for 12 or more hours, and I finally heard something. So I think we ought to look at it. Yes. And in the book of Mark, 11th chapter, verse 23, very familiar text. We're all familiar with the withered fig tree. The Lord says, "For verily I say unto you, that whomsoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." This is a very important scripture. Amen. This we call this the moving mountain scriptures. And how many of you know, as I mentioned to you yesterday, and I will continue to mention, that there are many mountains in our lives that we need to overcome. But we have someone through Christ Jesus that will bring us through every battle, and we shall win.
Yes.
A mountain to a man in a wheelchair can be a 6-inch curve. And as we were worshiping the Lord, and I was telling Glenn, my heart is so touched right now for the plight of the people. I didn't think I would be able to share with you. God spoke to me and said that there are those that don't speak to the mountain, but allow the mountain to speak to them. We are complaining, we're judging, we're pointing the finger, but we won't submit. We can hear and discern the work of the enemy, and we may have answers from God's word to get you free. But only you can learn accountability, submission, stewardship, responsibility. My heart just goes out to all of us, and including to myself. I believe that God would be found faithful to the faithful. But to the unfaithful, he appears to be unfaithful, yet he's faithful. And so we are going to have to come to the realization that maybe sometime God has divine delays. And we want to, in many cases in our ministries, at home and abroad, we want to point the finger at individuals for not receiving our deliverances. Some of you here that have walked and have been on the paths of this ministry for some time know exactly what I'm talking about. We have to take our eyes off of man and put our eyes up on our God. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. But the enemy will have us keep our eyes upon the circumstances, and we'll miss the blessings. I want to share with you 25 and 26 because I believe it is foundational in we receiving our deliverances. We must forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. So let me encourage you this afternoon, walk in forgiveness. It is very easy to discern unforgiveness. It has many symptoms, many characteristics, rebellion, fear, retaliation, bitterness. It's got a lot of fruit, and yet many in the church today choose not to go to God about this situation. They would rather cover the ungodly fruits. They would rather cover those fruits. And so I really implore you to you this evening, because I know God has showed me that he loves us so much, and he wants to free us. And there are some tares because we choose to go to sleep and let the enemy sow tares in our minds and in our souls at night. And that's a figurative speak. Please, go to God, all of us, and ask God to show us if there's any bitterness, any resentment, any unforgiveness in our hearts, so that we can be free. Because the message has been sent to us here at Lake Hamilton over the last several days, and that's much victory that we have received. And many of us are just a brink away from receiving our total victories in many areas of our life. And God is trying to alert us to that. Well, you know that this afternoon we want to share with you on the message of deliverance. I'm reminded, and as I was sharing with the pastor from Africa, of the great patriarch Abram in Genesis, the 14th chapter. We remember the text speaks about the five kings that went against the four. We see the Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and his host of warriors came and took Sodom and Gomorrah, brought in terror, and caused the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah to run, to flee to the mountains. Many were destroyed in the slime pits. And this information was told in verse 13. It was told to Abram the Hebrew what had taken place. And in verse 14, the scripture says, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants that were born in his house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, smote them, pursued them unto Hobot, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people." This is a clear example that our father Abram was a man of war. He taught warfare. It is very clear that he trained his household in warfare. And we must take for a time consideration these kings, these nations that had come against Israel. They were a mass number of men, highly trained in battle, bloodthirsty, I might say, wanting those lands, had already come in and had taken the women and the goods of Sodom, and had also taken God's child Lot. Well, regardless of how skilled these men were in war, God had gave Abram faith and the ability to defeat these kings.
supernaturally. Abram sent his armed trained servants in at night, and he defeated all of these nations, all of these kings and their troops. And I can assure you this, that if we will place our trust in the Lord, he will also equip us supernaturally.
Amen.
And we shall win every battle set before us. That's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
Now, he may not use the conventional means that we are familiar with in our military strategy. Because obviously, conventional means were not used in this battle. For we only had 318 men that brought back Lot and all of the goods and all those that have been taken captive. This is an awesome display of how God will use you and I in the end times to take back what the enemy has stole from us. In the book of 2 Samuel, we look into the heart of David and how David was celebrating the victories that God had given him. In 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, verse 38 and 39, we see David's thanksgiving for the powerful deliverance that God had given his life. He said, David had an attitude of warfare, and this is so important in our walks. We must develop and we must allow God to develop an attitude of warfare in our lives. David said, I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yes, they are fallen under my feet. Our question this afternoon, are we pursuing our enemies? Or are our enemies pursuing us? Now, everything we have received from the Lord, we've had to battle for it. Satan and all of his evil spirits are continually doing everything he can to hinder the children of God. What is our purpose for being delivered? Satan is hindering us, and we want God to be glorified through us. If we ask God for deliverance so that we can be socially accepted at our local fellowships, so that we can be socially accepted amongst our peers, if we want deliverance so that we can stop smoking, if we want deliverance so that we can lose weight, if we want deliverance so that we can receive prosperity, this is not the real reason God delivers. This is not why we get delivered. So we are seeking deliverance for the wrong reasons. We seek deliverance because we want God glorified through us. So we say, Lord, deliver me, for Satan hindered me. That is the right attitude about deliverance. And I'm convinced that many of us don't receive our deliverance because we approach God, we approach the throne of grace with the wrong attitudes on why we should be delivered. The enemy wants to hinder and contest every one of us to the rights to the promises of God. It is clearly evident what God had intended for his people. As we look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, God gives his people instruction before going into the promised land. We also, as the church, have instructions in order to walk in the fullness of the promises of God, which is Jesus. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, God says, verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you might live, multiply, and go in to possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now, he didn't say anything about you might go in, you might multiply, you might live. He said, you shall live. And you shall multiply, and you shall go in and possess. He goes on to say in verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God will bring thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey. God gives Israel the promises here, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarcity. I'm telling you what, God has given specific instructions to Israel here upon going into the promised land, and no differently, he has given the same instructions to us today, obedience and separation. We must be obedient to the commandments of God if we expect God to free us from the demonic invaders, the squatters in our lands. We must separate from the things of the world. We must separate from mixture. We must separate. We can't compromise the faith. God has called, He's commissioned each one of you into the ministry. He has called you to set the captives free. Every one of us, the believers, have the commission to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, and to cast out devils. He also mentions to them in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 1, he says, when the Lord your God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Our God is a God of battles. As I mentioned to you yesterday morning, one of the attributes of God is He is a Lord of battles. God intended for Israel not to make any peace with those nations, but to remain separate. No peace. And no differently today, God has called us to remain separate from the world, not to have peace with our enemies, because I can assure you, your enemies have not made peace with you. Amen. The enemy is seeking every opportunity he can to destroy the church. Well, there is a spiritual parallel here that God has called the church also to overcome the flesh, which speaks of the spiritual Canaan land. But look at God's promises to Israel. Lands flowing with milk and honey and grapes and provision. God wants us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Wants us to enjoy the goodness of the land. And now the land had demonic oppressors and giants. But the land had homes also already built. And the well for the wicked is laid up for the just. So God had all the provisions laid up for the church, for the children of God. Now God has given us the promise. He's given us Jesus. But how many of us are allowing the fullness of the Lord to possess us? How many? Well, I can tell you this. We need deliverance to drive out the demonic invaders. We need deliverance. And we need to accept our commission to do the work and get involved in the battle. In the book of Obadiah, verse 17, there's much scriptures in the Bible that prophesy about deliverance. In Obadiah, the 17th verse, it says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. We know that Zion speaks to the church prophetically. And God says that upon the church, or upon Mount Zion, shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and fire speaks of God's word. And on the house of Joseph, a flame, which speaks of God's spirit. And the house of Esau, which speaks of the flesh, stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord had spoken it. When we look at Esau, we look at the characteristics of Esau. One, as is known in scriptures, as the man that sold his birthright. He obviously had an appetite. The scripture also describes him as a hunter of flesh, a cunning hunter. And he had very little respect or understanding of the higher things and higher callings of God. When we allow our flesh to control us, our appetites, our soul, believe me, demons are there encouraging it. And they will drive you to have the same desires that Esau had about satisfying the appetites of the flesh. But God says to the church, I'm going to bring you and I'm going to send you a deliverer that will set the captives free. And He sent us Jesus. He also said that through Jesus Christ He would raise up ministers, men and women throughout the world, that will go out and preach the message of the gospel. In verse 21, this word Savior here is translated also deliverers. It is ended with an S, which speaks of many. And saviors, deliverers, a prophetic word of the deliverance ministry coming, shall come upon the church and shall judge this flesh. We're dealing with the flesh now.
Amen.
And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. People, the Lord is raising up deliverers in these last days.
Amen.
There's nothing we can do about it. We ought to be happy about it.
Amen.
God is raising up the deliverance ministry as part of the full gospel message. It is not the whole message. But without it, we would be almost at the mercy of the demons. And we need to take an attitude that we must fight. And we need to get ourselves involved in groups like here at Lake Hamilton and groups that you've come from around the world and begin to learn how to cooperate and how to submit and begin to work together as a team so that we can defeat the enemy and stop defeating ourselves. Some of the things you have no idea, some of the things and words that have spoke to me in the course of my life as a pastor, not only here but abroad. And I see many times our deliverances are hindered because we judge the brethren. Statement, something as simple as, do you think that was of God last night? I am so happy when I be around you people. You love me so much and I love you. And, of course, I know you're praying for me because, you know, sometimes it's like an 18-wheeler going down the track. Down the highway, I have to pull over sometime and I've run out of gas and I have to pull in a big tank and fill up. So right now, God is regassing up the truck in my life. I am so happy to be around people like you that are careful with your words. They just don't say any old thing around Brother Jim. I'm so happy when y'all see nice things and you love me and you say blessings. Y'all prophetically say things. It's not always that way when I go places. Many times people want to just throw everything. But you're so blessed, and I'm so blessed to be your friend. It's really a great privilege to have friends like you. And many of you I've gotten to know intimately over the years. We all share a very common ministry. We do stuff. We're the holy rose they talked about that on Friday nights don't get home to 2 in the morning. And so... Unfortunately, many of the people that we're going to minister to are going to be under the belief that after they got saved, that all of the giants in their lands have gone. And I say certainly not. If you're of the persuasion that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues and so all of the demons are gone, well then, no, this is not at all what Scripture teaches here. And it's not what I'm saying at all. We simply want to alert you that you have been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit so now that you can chase down your enemies. And so that you can hear from the Father, so that you can allow God to do the deeper work in your life, so that you can be delivered and go from glory to glory, that God might be glorified through you. God spoke in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, about deliverance and delivering them from their enemy. He wanted them to be patient about how he was going to do the work. And some of us become a little aggressive about that because if we don't get our deliverance from that one, then maybe that one is not anointed of God. You know, when you have when you really love, you hear all of the comments made because people feel they can throw all that garbage on you. Because a lot of people are not careful about their words. And it's because you have so much love. Everybody went to Jesus with everything. Hey, Jesus, so-and-so. Okay, and so we need to understand that it's not about that man's ministry or that woman's ministry. It's about God's ministry to you. And you've got to go to God and say, okay, God, what's hindering me from being delivered? What is the truth that's going to make me free? And I am convinced after so many years of ministry in so many states and countries and everything else, I am convinced it all boiled down to we got to stop blaming each other. We got to put our finger on the devil and say, it's you. And we got to love people. Now, if you look at me long enough and you submit to our ministry long enough, then you'll find a fault in me if you're a fault finder.
That's right.
Because I am not perfect in the eyes of flesh, but before my Father I am. Because of God, because of our Savior Jesus. And so it's not about my perfection. It's not about your imperfections. It's about His perfection and what He's doing in us. And so I am convinced. I've seen too many deliverances. I am convinced that if in this message, and I'm going two ways at one time, if you can receive the message that God says, take your eyes off of man and learn how to submit. Learn how to cooperate with the team God has placed you with, that I'm confident that your healings will come expediently. Expediently. Very early in our ministry, I learned how important it was to submit to authority. And you know, when you submit to authority, your pastor may be like me without a college degree. But I have masters and people in my group that have master's degrees, have contracts and business. I have bishops under me that have churches in Africa and everywhere. And here I am, just Brother Jim. And all I do is weep and wail. Cry and love. Stay up to 3 in the morning. Why, they write them big contracts and fly over. It's a simple work. But I am convinced that if you would say, Lord, I'm just going to submit. It's not always going to be like you want it. You may not understand, well, what we are sharing with you as pastors or teachers. It may not be understand, but God has placed you in a place. And you can't just say, well, there's no church in my town that knows deliverance. There are many places you can go and get taught and be trained. But we're going to have to learn to be very careful with our words and judge those that actually put the food upon our tables. Judge those that help us pay our bills. I just want to see everyone delivered. I know this tape will go out and many people will hear this, and certainly we hope it will be a blessing to them, because many of us in the church today have allowed the mountains in our lives to speak to us, as opposed to us speaking to the mountains. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 22, the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and thou shalt destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. That's Deuteronomy 22 and 23. Now, the Lord is telling us here that little by little will the Lord deliver us. As much deliverance as we are able to receive, as much deliverance as we are able to walk in, as much light as we are able to receive, people. And so God has worked this out. He has worked out a timing in our life. Your deliverance could take a second. I've seen some people just, and it was over with. Then I've seen others, particularly in the area of homosexuality, up to 4 years. Others, a week, a month, or a year. But leave that up to God. Just think about how close you're going to become to God. Have you ever thought about how close you get to God? The last 2 weeks of, I had no time to do anything but study about the problems. Some of us don't do that. When we're going through a battle, you need to start searching the scriptures about the battles that you are in. Instead of just sitting around, I was moping about, I need to get deliverance. You need to go in there and do a word search on the problems that you are dealing with. And I spent the last 2 weeks just doing word search, and I woke up one morning and realized, I told my wife, I said, I got to go to Lake Hampton. I said, I hadn't had time to do anything but the work that God was doing upon me. She said, oh, you'll be all right, God. I said, okay, I'm going to walk through out the door. So we need to search the scriptures daily. We need to search the scriptures and find out the things that are going on in our lives so that we can get the deliverance that God wants us to have. Amen? Well, in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, verse 2, Proverbs, did I say 23? I meant 25 if I did. Okay, Proverbs 25:2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. God intends for you and I, the believers, to search out the matters of our lives. God is pleased when we take accountability and we go to Him as stewards and say, Lord, I want to find out what is the situations in my life. And begin to do a scripture searches on the problems and the things that are manifesting in our lives. So when the Lord begins to reveal a nature, a name, or a characteristic of an evil spirit that's oppressing our lives, God intends for us to agree with Him and seek deliverance. He intends for us to cast out the demons. Of course, on the other hand, you might be at peace with your enemies. But your enemies, once again, are not at peace with you. Amen. Do not be in peace with your enemies. Well, some of us here have enemies that we are at peace with. Some of the enemies could be that we can allow to entertain us could be unclean thoughts, hate, unforgiveness, something as simple as tobacco, alcohol, drugs. And as Brother Noel mentioned in ministry 2 days ago, sexual sins, control. We just allow these enemies to control us. Once I had one of the first persons that came to our assembly many years ago when we opened up the facility and began working with this individual. And they came to me one day, a year or so later, and went to a prayer meeting. And at the prayer meeting, they discerned some things that they considered to be a little immature or not so knowledgeable in the area of deliverance. So when they got ready to pray for this individual said, "Oh, no, you can't pray for me because my pastor prays for me." And when they told me this, I began to reprove and correct, discipline in love, the errors of what they had done. And many of the reproaches upon our ministries are because of people with that don't have careful words that did what this individual did. And they went out there, and all of the 15 or 20 people at the prayer meeting all began to think Brother Landry was a Jezebel. And this is how the word goes out upon our ministries. And we need to be careful. The enemy is going to sow tares.
Yes.
And we need to be accountable to God. And we need to realize that there are other people out there. In Mark 9, 38, 39, I think it is, that the Lord corrected his disciples after they're coming back and they had stopped one who had were casting out demons in his name, but he was not with them. The Lord said, "Forbid him not." And we should not forbid, and we should not interfere if God is doing a work at a group and they're maybe not in the same degree of light and maturity that you're in. While you may sit down in a chair comfortably and laugh and just say, "Come out in Jesus' name, I break that curse, okay, I see that spirit, you come out," and they may be all might be falling all over the floor. Brother over here might be holding the person down, this one out here might be screaming, come out of there, okay, and you be saying, "Oh, that's all, you ain't gotta do all that." It's nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. It's just where they are right now. Ain't nobody talking about reading out of the lofty scrolls or nothing. Ain't nobody quoting the Jehovah's Witness doctrine or nothing. They just ministering where they are. They just in they out in the street doing it. In a house somewhere. Or in a building somewhere. And we done got so high and mighty because we know how to do it a lot faster, a lot easier, and we don't have to speak as loud, and so we decide we don't want to participate with them. I've learned over the years just to go in and just be part of the work. And never even thinking about expecting anything out of it, but other than just to do spiritual warfare, because that demon knows you sitting in there too. And if he knows you in there with all the knowledge you got, and those people are not doing anything incorrectly, they're just doing it a little bit, how can I say, just more dramatically, all right? You are at odds with what they're doing. So you are a disagreement.
That's right.
And that's all that demon needs to do, to stop that deliverance. So whatever you do, go or something, or sit there and say, "Wait a minute, this is okay. Praise the Lord. Get them, get them." And two or three meetings before you know it, they'll have you sitting up there. "Will you come pray?" And they won't be able to act, they won't be able to interfere with you because the anointing is, and they'll listen to the words. And they never heard words like that.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll begin to submit. We want to make them submit. We just want to make them submit. Can't do that. If God is not in the plan, it won't be successful anyway. So go by God's plan because your way is always going to mess up. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy, once again, we spend a lot of time in Deuteronomy. The 7th chapter, God speaks about idolatry as they were going into those promised lands. He didn't want them to have any of the gods of those lands. In verse 25 and 26, and we need to do house cleanings ourselves. I've seen a lot of people get free from demonic oppression and demons in their lives by simply cleaning up house and repenting. My first pastor was a man that was in deliverance. He brought me to a meeting where Win Worley was. He's gone on to be with God. I now oversee that ministry also in another city. And his wife is under our authority, and she is a very close counselor in her 80s. And she teaches, too. And I love to have her come and say, teach these young women everything, teach. And one day we were going to a home,
And the person that came, I brought them to I don't want to say revival, it was something like a crusade. And the lady started acting like a snake down on the floor, and I didn't really understand that too well. And my wife got down there, and she kept telling me, that's what the Lord been telling me, Jim. But all the time, I'm sitting under the ministry, and I'm not hearing. You know why? Because I had second masters. Okay? I had another lover. Okay? It was the kingdom of self. So I couldn't hear. I'm sitting in a ministry that's teaching deliverance, and I'm not receiving deliverance, but I'm thinking I'm capable of giving deliverance to others. Let's not be ignorant of Satan's devices, people. We need to make sure we get our own houses in order before we can minister to others. So I know what I'm talking about. I was there. And they loved me and ignored my ignorance until God brought me into the truth. And it didn't take a month either. It took a year or so. And them people loved me. Now, God has raised me as the overseer of all of the ministries. Those people love me. That old man loved me. I put it like that. He's a good man. Praise the Lord. We went to the people's home. And so I walked in there, you know, just all kind of, you know, like happy with my pastor and his wife, you know. They probably was in their 70s then. And walked in the house and everything, and I saw the lady there and had all the children there. And I said, well, I guess we better get the oil out. We're going to anoint the home. So I'm reaching, grabbing everything like that. And he said, come here, son. And I looked at him, I said, yeah. And he put his hand on the girl, started praying for the young lady, and started rebuking the demons in the house. I said, oh. He said, now, see, the demon is in the house, but the demon is in this house. And from this house, it's controlling this house. I said, and I learned a revelation that day. Now, I'm ready to go anoint the house, and he anointing her. Now, that's not to say that we didn't have certain times where we had to remove certain Aztec gods, Buddhas, and things like that in the home that was causing demonic oppression. We have testimony after testimony of people that God just gave us a word of knowledge. We were just ministering to them and say, do you have a pillow in your house with a bunch of pins in it? Did anybody in your house ever have a Buddha or something like that? And God gave us a word of knowledge, and those individuals removed those things, and they were delivered. And anybody's played with a Ouija board, we've had everyone, Ouija board or Buddha in their home, we found that they've had problems demonically, and they all generally manifest in some way or another. And so God gave Israel instructions about going to the promised land, about those graven images, and we need to know what to do with the ones that we find. Some of you are not getting rid of all of them. We found that I have a friend up in the New York area, and we have a young boy up there that has autistic and some learning problems, very bright young child, but all of a sudden he can't control himself at 9 years of age. When he goes into the store, he wants to buy a pornography magazine. He can't control himself. So if he can't get a book of pornography at the store, what do you think he reads at the house? All you have to do is get the Sunday paper and see all of the lingerie you want. Or a JCPenney magazine. The big books, and turn to the girls. Or in the other case, you can turn to the boys, whatever your fancy was when you was out there. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we need to make sure that, you know, we are careful about the things that we allow in our home. At the same time, we need to bring our children up in the fear and admonition of God and not cause them to be fearful, but to reverence God. It is your responsibility as parents to tell your children that Santa Claus is not true, but to explain to them the custom and why. Because they have to go and do spiritual warfare with 25 or 30 students every day of their lives in the school district. And they do a lot more warfare than you and I do in the course of a week. Because they have to deal with 100 children sometimes. And I like that as our children begin to grow and mature, and when they got into their teens and 18 and 19, they would come back to me and say, Brother Jim, you know, we was having a Bible class at school, or we were having prayer meeting at school, and they don't understand these things. And I would listen, I would judge their words, and they wouldn't be saying it like we better than them. They would just be compassionate about it, you know. And I would look at them and say, I knew, I told them they would see this one day. And now a lot of these children, now we're in another generation, a lot of those are in college, graduated, and so forth. And so you don't have to be fearful to teach your children the truth about the holidays and different things that are contrary to God, because you're just permitting more demons to come into their lives if you don't. I know it's a little difficult if you're just coming into the revelation to just go and scrap the tree on the 25th or just throw away everything
You may have to work your way through it over the next year or two. And certainly, you may have to do that. I'm compassionate about that plight. But nevertheless, you will have to do it. You will have to do it. And we're not really going to talk about a lot on those things at this time, but this is something I know that we all have to be confronted with, particularly as we are concerned about our grandchildren and so forth that are surrounded with so much demonic things. I'm going to, in the next, I'll say several weeks, 6 or 7 weeks, I will have a paperback out, and you can get it through Lake Hamilton. It will be about the celebration of Kwanzaa, which has taken the schools by surprise. Virtually all of the school districts are permitting this celebration. It was birthed in 1966 by this doctor during the Black Liberation Movement. My friend from Africa, he don't know nothing about it. Africa don't know about it. But it's supposed to be an African celebration of communion and fellowship and friends and family, going back into the worship of the ancestors and two particular Orisha gods, which that may not mean anything to you, but that's another book I'm writing. I'm just taking a chapter out and put it out immediately. God said, send it out now. But you need to have this little booklet so that you can know what curses and what are the doctrines of Kwanzaa, because they use Malcolm X, but they never quote his name. And they use several other individuals who are humanists and secularists and just, you know, evil, contrary to the laws of man and God. And they have seven principles, and all the seven principles counterfeit the things in the Scripture. Even the very mat that they laid a food offering on, which is supposed to be foundation, there is no other foundation that was made but the one that the Lord made. And I break down all the principles of Kwanzaa. And it's a little short paperback, 3 or 4 pages. I'm asking y'all to send for it. I'll give it to Brother Glenn as soon as I can get it published. And you can get it through Lake Hamilton. You'll see it in the newsletter. But somebody has got to warn America of what's going on. And we need to deal with this spirit, and we need to cast it out, because even the Africans don't know nothing about it. And yet they say it's an African celebration. Come on, wake up, America. How did it get into the school district? I have no idea, but I know who did it, the devil. So the Lord says that the graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is in them or on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. People, these idols, and many of you are already aware of this, many of these idols are responsible that it invites many sicknesses and depressions, curses and poverty over people's lives. And most of you are already familiar with that. This is what God wants us to get rid of, these idols. It's contrary to the will of God. It's a second master. You're committing fornication, having God and other gods. And if you love one, you're going to hate the other. And you can't have second masters. You got to have one master. And so many of us have second masters. Some of our second masters can be I'll sue you. We ready to sue, right? Because we got a quick second master, but we never said, God, what do you want to do? We get a little pain and stuff. We rush to the doctor, second master. We don't say, God, what do you want to do? I'm not saying you shouldn't go. I have one of my close friends who's been studying with me for many years. She was having some problems. We've been struggling this for a year. She said, well, what do you think I ought to do, Brother John? I said, I don't know. We didn't pray. We didn't fast. I said, Carol, call this guy over there. You've been to see him before. Y'all, you know him, Dr. Cherry over in Houston. I said, go find out what Cherry said about this. And she said, well, okay, I'll do that. She just needed me to give her permission. It's okay to go get information. I have a friend that's a non-denominational pastor and physician in our city. And when I go to him, I have to. I work for a company that requires physicals and so forth like that. And I can remember one time I was real messed up, and the nurse coming there with a long needle. I say, the Lord said for me not to show my naked to another. I wonder how many of y'all know that. Y'all just go ahead and get hit by the nurse? Just let her hit you in the back, man? Come on now. My wife has never been touched by a man. No man has ever put his hand in her. He said, well, I got to go to hit my weekly gun, or my yearly gun, or whatever you call that test. And I used to be in nursing and an x-ray technician. I can't pronounce the words. I've suddenly died to that thing. And so we need to be careful about who we allow. But it's okay. I believe God has permitted us to have men that are God-fearing and God-fearing women that can give us some insight into what our problems are. And then you have a choice. God, what do you want me to do? Should I have the surgery, or should I receive more prayer? And God will tell you what to do. Okay, that's as far as I'm going to go with that, because I'm not condemning the system in that sense. I'm simply saying we need to use it as God provides us the ability to use it. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest thou be cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. I have seen certain curses on individuals' lives, certain demons that are in individuals, the individual had taken on the same characteristics of the idol or image in their home. Okay? I mentioned to you in May, I think, what month were you, July? Okay, in May, I mentioned to you about the individual I know that had a stroke and their hand curled up. And when I went into the bedroom of their home, there was one of those little hands that looked just like this, what you put gloves on. Then there's other people that have had many other problems in their life, and I was able to see the same characteristics of the cat or the lust for dogs, bestiality or whatever, in their descriptions of their bodies. Okay? It was manifest, and I could see the principality there lodged in them. And then we've seen a number of images and statues or pictures that individuals had when they were getting some receiving deliverance, and they would just manifest the same thing as the Buddha or whatever the form of the statue or the image was. Once we had, I had a pastor come over for help, and he was involved tremendously in masonry. Had gotten out of masonry 4 or 5 years. He said, "Oh, Jim, it's nothing there. I God showed me that. I got out of that 4 or 5 years ago." I said, "Well, okay, let me see." And y'all need to take patience. I look, and anyway, I decided to look in there, start ministering, and we went through some renunciation prayers, broke some curses, and those demons came up, and he said he saw a God give me the remembrance of that name. It seems to be a porpoise or something, some type of fish. Porpoise came out, got in front of him with a chain and a ball on it. I said, "God is breaking the chains off of your life. He's delivering you here from these demons." And immediately right after that, then his arms went in the air and his head cocked to the side like that, and he looked like the Thunderbird from the Indian doctrines. And he went up just like that, and he started flying, you know. And I've seen everything from Popeye to Cello Man to, I mean, just whatever. And so we need to be careful about just taking God for granted for some of the idols and the images that we had in our possessions. And we might do a soul search and say, "Lord, is there, you know, anything that's in my life that is responsible for me having webbed feet, not being able to hear clearly, hair falling out, always having pains in my joints? Why are my kidneys failing? What's going on with my liver? Why am I having a problem breathing?" I'm convinced that many of the things that are happening to us in the natural have spiritual parallels. And I'm convinced that every condition known by the medical profession was first known by God. It should be known by us too. And I believe we ought to search the scriptures as we believe God for healing. And let him know that you are interested in searching out the matters of your life. God takes, he's blessed, he's honored when you search out the matters of your life. God hates idolatry. He hates the graven images of their gods. He told them to burn it with fire, and you need to burn it. And we have a large barbecue pit. Well, we won't put any meat on it anyway anymore. But on the side of the building, and when we have our Friday night live services, individuals come, and I don't know what day anybody's going to bring a bag of stuff in there. But I've seen bags of dolls come in. One of the young ladies that just recently graduated college, they came into the work when she was like in the ninth grade or something like that. And now she's working. She's helping me do my writings. And just a wonderful person. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit and just really helping my wife and I really tremendously as a secretary. And that's just her office. There's nothing on the payroll as far as money. Well, I'm not even getting paid myself. I mean, I work at a refinery, which is Exxon, and I thank God he gave me a job. But I'm not saying that everybody else can't do that. That's just not, God gave me a different type of ministry. He showed us very early in the ministry that people would think that because of the signs and wonders following, the word would go out around our city that I was charging people, and it did. It did go out, but they didn't have anything to prove that by. Where was I going? I think we were talking about burning the gods with the fire for sure. And maybe it'll come back to me where we were going. But anyway, the Lord wants me to share that with you.
That girl brought stuff in.
Yes, yes. Oh, she brought in some CD tapes and all kind of dolls and pictures. And I couldn't believe it, you know.
because, you know, I knew she was in college, you know, and things a little faster in that groove, you know. And I said, Brother Landon, I want to get rid of it. I said, well, okay, Judy. I told her nephew, because he had already been going through deliverance for you. I said, all right, you know what we need to do. So he ran in and got the lighter fluid and the matches, and he paraded on out there. They stood out there and praised the Lord while they burned up the trash. And I'd go out and look, but I allow them to feel confident that God is with them and not to feel fearful that something might get on them. So I'll just leave them and go back in the auditorium. And I'll come back, everything all right? Okay, see y'all later. And so we need to trust God and to be confident that God is going to take care of His church, take care of His body, take care of the believers. Amen? So perhaps there are still some works inside of us that God wants to purify, refine us with the fire of His word. Amen? In Numbers, the 33rd chapter, let's look at that. Numbers 33:50, I thank God for your patience, sir. It seems very easy probably from out there for me to deliver this message from up here, but right now I'm ministering to you what God says for me to minister to you, but God is still ministering to me. He had to stop me. You know, the faucet is still on. So He's doing something in my life, so I thank you for your patience and for your love. I really do. Amen. In verse 50, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab, 33:50, by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, and destroy all of their pictures or idols, and destroy all of their molten images, and quite pluck down all of their high places, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell there, for I have given you the land to possess it. Then, on the other hand, he tells them in verse 55, but if you will not drive out. Now, God is very, very specific about this. We must not be at peace with our enemies. He says, you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you. Then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain, if you want to keep your demons, you want to keep your attitudes or your problems, well, those that which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. And thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in this land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. God gave command to His children to drive out all of the inhabitants, people. He did not say to make friends with them. Now, I know that there are a lot of self programs, a lot of help programs out there. There's the AAA programs, there's the drug programs. And now we even have cigarette patches. And I don't know what else we got. We probably got a whole lot of patches. And then there's mind-altering medications to help people to live with their disease, to make peace with their demons. But God says to drive them out. And I'm asking you to be prayerful, to be considerate that we must take on this same attitude that God has. We must drive the enemy out. Amen? Now, Israel had from time to time rebellion in the land. And because of the rebellion in the land, then God has spoke to them here in 55 and 56, warning them of the evil associations and the consequences of their sin. Once again, Israel was at peace with their enemies in many cases, and as a result of that, then the judgments of God came upon them. For us, the church, to minister spiritually, and to understand spiritual warfare, then we're going to have to look at the things of God spiritually. In the book of Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 18, excuse me, 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verse 18, the scripture says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For us, truly, to understand the deeper and the revelations of God, we're going to have to look at the things of God spiritually. There are two types of seeing that is illustrated in this scripture. The visible realm represents the temporal realm. And the not seen or invisible represents the eternal realm. The invisible things are truly the real and eternal things. So we must begin to study scripture and put away our old way of seeing things. The old way we discern things, and begin to truly walk as new creatures in Christ Jesus,
and allow God to use His discernment to reveal things to us. The Bible tells us that once we all walked in the flesh, in the earthly realm, and we totally operated under the control of our senses, the flesh, which is the visible realm, which is temporal. The Word says in Romans 8, chapter verse 5, that they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So, when a believer is minding the things of the flesh, they're going to look at the problems. They're not going to look at God's solutions, people. This type of individual operates totally in the visible realm. They have no spiritual, or little no spiritual discernment whatsoever, because they operate in the flesh, operating under their senses. They discern not the operation of the evil spirits working within them, because they are carnal. Now, the realm of sight, the Lord says, is a temporal realm. The temporal realm is the realm that brings about the divorces. It brings about the fightings, the schisms, the divisions in our lives. It brings about the demonic oppression in our lives. It is the visible realm. And God's Word says that the invisible things are truly the really eternal things. So we really need to change the way we look at things that God is revealing to us. And we need to, once again, as I had mentioned earlier, be very careful about the words we speak. In the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 10, the scripture says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, the eternal realm has and is now being revealed to the church. In the Old Testament, Israel was contested by the giants of the day. They contested them for the rights of the promised land, and their battles were against flesh and blood. On the other hand, we, the church, are placed in direct conflict with Satan and his evil spirits, and I hope that we clearly understand that our weapons are not against flesh and blood, or do we? This is the reason why the Lord has sent us here. This is a teaching ground where God will teach our ministry, will teach our hands to war, because we are being contested for the rights and the promises of God. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This word wiles has several meanings. Strategies, deceptive schemes, methods, any number of strategies that Satan is working against your life. And some of those strategies Satan is trying to work against our life can be acute or chronic. He'll try to work something out over a period of a couple of hours, or he may try to work something out over a period of several years. And so we must stand, and we must do the warfare that God has called us to do. We must begin immediately driving the enemy out. Give no place to the devil. Give no place. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we need to change the way we are looking at the battles that we are confronted with. God gives us His armor. He gives us His Word. He gives us the Holy Spirit, that we might go forward battling and overcoming the powers of darkness. But I encourage you to know who your real enemies are. They are the evil spirits of the seen realm. Not seen realm, excuse me. Yet the devil would have us believe the lie that they are the evil people of the seen realm. Our war is not against individuals. Satan might be using individuals, but our war should not be against individuals. We are warring against principalities and powers. We are warring against the demons. And until you take an attitude and say, God, I want to learn what I need to know, not only to get yourself some help and help others, then you're not going to be able to clearly understand what God is saying about the warfare here. God wants to teach all of us to battle, but we cannot fight the enemy if we don't know who they are or what they are. In the book of Galatians, it outlines several forbidden fruit. I think it's 17 works of the flesh is listed there. And these are all names of demonic spirits. In fact, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it's demonic listings after listings after listings of principalities and powers. And as you begin your study on the demonic listings, as God is bringing you to a deeper deliverance, or as He's doing a deeper work in your life, and He'll give you a name of a principality, He'll share some things with you, and He wants you to go and search Him out and defeat that enemy all the way to the root of the problem. You begin, after some time of studying, and God begins to take you to degrees of deliverance, He will begin to give you the character and nature behind the names of those spirits. Now, one is a very common one, would be the Ikes. The Ikes from the Canaanites family line are a fearful, provoking, murderous, sexual, perversive group of people, as listed in the Scriptures. This is where we get our name, Dolomite, Dynamite, Canaanite, the Ikes. And sometimes God will reveal something in our lives, and He's trying to show us the nature of the Spirit. And so He may share something like that in your communion time with Him. In your fellowship time with Him, He may bring up a name and you need to search it out. What we do, not you personally, but what we tend to do, and I hear people do this, we'll have a dream about Brother Jim. And in the dream, Brother Jim is attacking us, so God is showing me, watch him. And so we're not asking God to discern the dreams. We're not asking God to show us what is He trying to illustrate to us in the dreams. And so we're judging the body once again. And we're not going to be able to prosper in our ministries if we judge the body. And we don't rightfully discern the body of Christ. So God will reveal to us many, many ways so that we can search out the matters in our life. We just have to stay open to Him and stay teachable. I was blessed yesterday talking with a brother back here that we ministered one to another a year ago. And y'all should hear his testimony. God healed him of several things. And not just fingernail problems either. And he said, well, you remember me? I say, yeah, your face looked familiar. And after we talked, then I was clear who he was. And it's just an awesome testimony, this brother back here, how God has set him free. He followed instructions. He heard a message. I think he emailed me or sent me a letter or something. He emailed me, sent you some instructions. And he sought God's face. It wasn't so much what he did, what I did, but it was about him being faithful to what God said he was going to, what he needed to do. And he searched out the matters of his life. And the problems in his life with the liver and several other things, he searched them out. He wanted to know what the Word said. And God healed him. He said he could feel it all coming up all back, all around. He came up. He said, he came out, Brother Jim. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It excited me. I got excited about that. God is so faithful for what God is doing. And so God wants us to do a word search. Search out the matters of your life. Well, this might have been okay for some of us, but maybe not for all of us. In Mark, maybe we all were not here for the same reasons. In Mark, the 17th chapter, excuse me, Mark, the 15th chapter, let's look at that in verse 7. Here we find that there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in this insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done before. But Pilate answered them, saying, what will ye that I release unto you, the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them again, what will ye that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil had he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. People, we're seeing the spirits of Barabbas are still being loosed in the congregations around the world today. Many are rejecting the messages and the teachings of Jesus and have desired a counterfeit. Yes, there are many Barabbas spirits being released throughout the church. And my question might be, as Pilate questioned those Jews, whom would you desire released unto you? Yes, we would all, I certainly pray, say Jesus. And if that be the case, then we need to cleanse these lands and receive the fullness thereof of Him. Then we should be in obedience to all that He has said that we should do. Yes. Are we in obedience to what God has said we should do? Whom would you desire release? Jesus or Barabbas? The Scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 1, it commands us to clear the lands. Clearly, the Scripture teaches us that the land that God desires to clear is his church. He instructs his body to be cleansed, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God loves us so much, and he wants us free from all the demonic powers that have oppressed his church. Will you agree with me? I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you boldly, to your throne of grace, and ask for your wall of fire, your blood covering, your shield of faith, your hedge of thorns to be over and around about this property, all those present, their immediate and extended family members, wherever they may be, their protective properties and their families and their family pets. And Lord, we ask you to send a host of protective, warring, restraining, and ministering angels to fill this place to overflowing, to link themselves around about this property to seal off with the blood of the Lamb all access through which Satan and his cohorts can draw strength. So in Jesus' name, I bind all the princes of the power of the air assigned to everyone in this room and cut and sever all the lines of communication to every area of our mind and cancel their assignments to us today. I ask for the full power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be loosed upon us, your counselors, Father, so that the gifts can work through us diversely as you see fit. I loose discernment, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, miracles, and all the powers of God that are available to us through your word. Scriptures teach us that we must first bind the strong man, and then we can spoil his goods. So, Lord Jesus, I bind these strong men and their co-hosts. I bind all ruling spirits. I bind fear, doubt, and unbelief. I bind violence, fighting, murder, rage, anger, and hostility. I bind the spirits of error, antichrist, and religious spirits. I bind the spirits of divination, witchcraft, witchcraft control, mind control, occult mind control spirits, and all unclean spirits. I bind all of the doorkeeper spirits, the family's familiar spirits, and all spirit guides. I bind all blocking spirits, hindering spirits, or free demons, unassigned demons, that would attempt to cause problems or block or hinder this deliverance session. In Jesus' name, I bind and break your power and command you to be immobilized, inoperable, and solid in Jesus' name. I'm calling on the Father to send legions of angels to fill this place, to gather the principalities with chains and shackles, and we release them and loose those principalities to you, Lord Jesus, to dispose of them. I would ask now that you would agree with me and pray along with me, for those of you that want to participate. We will break the witchcraft curses, occult curses, and generational witchcraft curses over our life. Some of you are here for the first time because I've heard that, because you have spoken with me. So we will break some generational curses in Jesus' name. Will you agree with me and pray with me? In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
I bind the strong man,
of sin and death,
death and destruction,
death and,
hell,
death and hell,
over all curses,
afflicted upon me.
I also bind the power
of these curses.
I now cut and sever, break and loose myself
from all evil curses,
all alternate
and buried curses,
all charms,
hexes,
vexes,
spells,
jinxes,
all psychic powers,
psychic
or manipulative prayers,
bewitchments,
witchcraft,
sorcery,
enchantments,
incantations,
voodoos,
hoodoos,
jujus,
white and black magic,
Macumba,
Orisha,
Santeria,
thank you,
Palamate,
mischief,
covenants,
portions,
and omens,
all mind control,
occult mind control,
witchcraft control,
soul power,
all human spirits,
familiar spirits,
and spoken word curses
coming against me
with all of their hatred
and anger.
I now take the sword of the Spirit,
which is the word of God,
and I cut,
sever,
break and loose myself
from all curses.
All curses coming from the psychic,
the occult,
and any other ungodly sources.
I do this in Jesus' name,
and by his shed blood.
I now declare
all curses coming
against
me
to be broken, severed,
made null and void.
Those who the Son made free
are free indeed.
Okay. We also break
all
curses
coming from witch doctors.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to pray. Just ask that you agree. Satan, I'm attacking you from my position in Christ Jesus. From our spiritual position in the third heaven, where I'm seated spiritually, we're seated as the church of God with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he has given us, the believers, the very same power and authority. Jesus said he's given us power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. So I now exercise that power and authority that has been given us, and I come against you, principalities and powers, by the blood of the Lamb, by the name of Jesus, the authority as a believer, the unity of our spirits and the word of God. So in Jesus' name, I bind all the strong men, the commander of legions, the ruler of demons, lesser demons, servant demons, underlings, all co-hosts and all doorkeeping demons that are harassing each person and keeping us in bondage. I break your power. I bind your powers, command you foul spirits. You're going to line up in rank and file. You're going to start leaving in an orderly fashion. You're not going to rent anybody. You're going to go. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I cut and sever every evil spirit from Satan and from one another so you can't hang on to one another for help, comfort, or support. I also cut you asunder from every area of the mind, the soul, the emotions, from all five senses we know of and those that are unknown. And I cut and sever you from all the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons, the nerves, the sinews, the tissues, from the vertebrae, from the disc, and from all portions of the spinal cord, from every organ and every limb. You come out of there in that order in Jesus' name. We wash you and purge you from every area of this body with the blood of Jesus. We also sever between the conscious and the unconscious and the subconscious mind so all things of the past can be released. I stir and bind all the power demons, the strong men, the ruler demons in every part of the mind, the soul and the body, and I throw confusion and weakness in your ranks. I command every demon to come out of darkness into light. I forbid you to use any trickery or deceit or mischief. I bind all the spirits directly to the authority of Jesus Christ in his divine judgment. And in Jesus' name, I command every one of you to leave. As I cast you out, not only will you leave, but all of the memories, the roots and the scars, and all of the nests and the habits also will go. In the name of Jesus. Yesterday, I spoke a little bit about the occult, so I'm going to go against those principalities now. In Jesus' name, all the spirits that entered us from our participation with the occult, or our fathers, forefathers of participation with the occult. You're going to come out of us. All the spirits from the Ouija board, you come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of sorcery, witchcraft control, witchcraft, all of the water witching, the magic, the voodoo, divination, fortune telling, come out. You come out of the people of God. Who are you to resist the name of Jesus? You have no authority. I break your power. I break your power. You come out of there in Jesus' name. All the spirits from Gene Dixon and Edgar Casey and Irene Hughes, you come out. You come out. We cast you out. You go in Jesus' name. Automatic writing, handwriting analysis, tea leaf, coffee grounds, crystal balls. Come out. You come out of the people of God. All the spirits from the tarot cards, the palm reading, astrology, the horoscopes, and the signs of the zodiacs. You go. You come out of us in Jesus' name. We've repented of this, so you come out. You can't stay, demons. You come out of us. All spirits from hypnotism, come out in Jesus' name. Every one of us that submitted to a dentist, and a dentist was trained to hypnotize their people. Right now, Father, we just confess this is sin. We've done it ignorantly, Lord God. We didn't know that the dentists, or many of the dentists in our country, have been trained as hypnotists. And so, Father, we ask right now for forgiveness. And I command all the spirits from all of the dentists that you went through from a child up to this point to come out of us now. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Every one of you, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of ESP, spiritualism, mediums, seance, table tipping, necromancy, levitation, and clairvoyance, come out of us in Jesus' name. All astral projection,
Transcendental meditation, come out. Ekankar, soul travel and mind control, come out of us. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, demons. Come out of there. All Eastern religions, all interests that we had in Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, I Chain, Charisma, Zen, ESP, and PSI, come out. Come out. Come out. We break those curses from our family and our generations from Jehovah's Witness. Come out. Christian Science, Rosicrucians, Theosophy, Unity, Metaphysics, Baha'i, Scientology, the Moonies, the Mormons, Spiritual Frontiers, the Forum, Islam, Black Muslims, the Way, the Walk, and other groups using the Bible but denying or omitting the divinity of Christ in them. You come out of there in Jesus' name. You come out of there in Jesus' name. Every one of you. All of our participation and interest as we were growing up in biorhythm, yoga, come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Karate. All the karate and the martial arts spirits, come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Acupuncture. Come out of there. Come out of there. All the spirits from the Freemasons and our family lines. Any participation that we participated in. Freemasons, Eastern Star. Come out. All the spirits from the tattoos, the pierced ears, the charms. Come out of there. Come out of there. All the spirits from the ghost head, the unicorn, the flying horse, and the rainbows. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits from participating in spells, games, Dungeons and Dragons. Just all of those games that we participate in. All the demons, you go in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the spirits in the pyramid. Come out of there. False visions, superstitions. Come out of there. Hex signs. Come out of there. All the spirits that associate with them are laziness and self-deception, impatience, pride. Come out of there. All the constellation spirits written in the book of Job. Come out. Come out, Leviathan. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, Orion. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All of you, come out of there. Spirits of ugliness, self-hate, ambition. Come out of there. Suicide, come out. All suicide spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Confusion, come out of there. Since 9/11, we've had a lot of problems with suicide in the northern countries. I did a teaching here last year on suicide. You might look at that tape. It covered a lot of grounds on the statistics and who's committing suicide and why. Teenagers have the high suicide rate, and it's rooted in homosexuality. Many of them are having identity problems. Not sure if they're male or females. And so when they find out that they like the same sex, they become suicidal. And after 9/11, the children in New York began seeing all the hearse pass by, and it hurt them, and many of them went to their pastors for help because they were suicidal. Come out, all depression, come out, torment, torture, doubt, unbelief, greediness, come out, guilt, shame, condemnation, come out, evil heart of unbelief, come out. All you demons, you come out of there in Jesus' name. All the spirits of fear of giving and receiving love freely. Demon, you come out of there in Jesus' name. I know you there, you go. That fear, fearing to give love, come out of there and receive it, come out, go. Fear of death, fear of pain. Fear of darkness, fear of dogs, animals, cats, insects, fear of demons. Come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All the spirits of fear that come in, that brought wounded spirits and bruised in my emotions and deep hurt, come out. Unforgiveness, come out. And revenge and vengeance and the seething anger and the rage and the schizophrenia, come out. Paranoia, all you demons, you come out of us in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All of you in Jesus' name. All of you, come out. All the spirits of destruction, Apollyon, come out of there. Terminator, termination, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Father, I break the curses of allergies and multiple chemical sensitivities back to 10 generations on both sides of the families. Spirits of hay fever, come out. Come out. Asthma, come out. Bronchitis, come out. Other sinus and respiratory system allergies, I command you to leave the people now. Go. Go. All spirits causing the swelling, the itching, the burning, the infection, the excess drainage, irritation, come out of the lungs, the bronchial tubes, the mouth and the sinuses, come out of there in Jesus' name. All allergies to food, chemical substances, come out of the bloodstream, out of every organ, specifically spirits from the poisons, methane, ethanol, formaldehyde, contaminated blood, come out of the immune system. Come out of the immune system now. Come out, the liver, the endocrine system, the brain and the central nervous system. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of hemorrhoids, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Come out of there. muscle spasms, cramps, drowning, asphyxiation, choking, smothering, fainting, and suffering. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of swelling, fits, convulsions, and a demon of epilepsy. You come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Heart failure, come out. Heart attack, come out. Heart disease, come out. And the fear of all of these, come out. That's right. For those of you that may not be well, I'm sorry. You should take in a deep breath from time to time and let it come out through your belly. And sometimes it's associated with dryness or tickling in the throat or cough. That's okay. We just, the word the breath, spirit, demon is all the same word. That you expel them out in the breath, the breathing passages. In most cases, that's the way they're going to go. You got seven openings in the body. They'll come out any one of those two. I don't see any spread around here, so you may have to run. But anyway, come out. All demons, that's the main thing. Come out. Spirits of out of the muscles of the heart, come out. Out of the valves, come out. Out of the nerves of the blood vessels, come out. Spirits of high and low blood pressure, come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Diabetes, come out. Come out. Gallbladder problems, kidney infection, come out of there. All of you, all of the Parkinson's disease, come out of there in Jesus' name. Acne and warts, psoriasis, all fungus, come out of there. Come out. I break the curse of bone breakers. Bone breakers, back breakers, come out. Come out, manifest in Jesus' name. Come out of here quickly. Come on out of here, all bone breakers, back breaking spirits. Come out, traumatic shock. Excuse me. Come out in Jesus' name. Paralysis. We've seen this spirit leap in the person in a car accident. You got to get to them quick. Hopefully they are servant of God. I've seen people get high blood pressure, even in the ministry of deliverance, just because they got an auto accident. The fear overwhelmed and they get high blood pressure. Then you got to work with them for a year or two to get them free. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. We break that power in Jesus' name. Come out, demons. Come out, all cataracts. Come out, glaucoma. Blindness of all kinds and all kinds of eye trouble. Go in Jesus' name. All deafness. Come out. Hard of hearing. Vertigo. Come out. Troubles relating to the ears. Troubles relating to the hearing. Come out in Jesus' name. We cast you out in Jesus' name. You come out of there. You come out of there in Jesus' name. I command all the spirits attached to the muscles, come out. Attached to the ligaments, come out. Attached to the tendons, come out. Attached to the nerves, come out. Sinews and tissues of the vertebrae, come out. I speak to the muscles, ligaments, and tendons, command them to relax and command the vertebrae to go back in place. All the organs reset and align perfectly as where God has created them to be. And the body relax. And I bind spirits of tension, stress, and anxiety and command you to go in Jesus' name. I release healing in Jesus' name. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Arms and legs adjust. Actually, the spine is being adjusted, really. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. All the spirits from pinched nerves, back pains, all of the disc pads in the back. I ask God for a creative miracle, God, that you would heal those backs, heal those spines, all the pain in the spine. You come out of there. Lower back pain in the lumbar spine. All the pains in the thoracic spine, come out in Jesus' name. All the pain right there, you come out of there. All of the pain, you go in Jesus' name. I break those curses over you in Jesus' name. You be gone, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So all those pinched nerve spirits, you come out of there in Jesus' name. All that pain, go. Pain, throbbing pain, migraine pain, headache pain, after alcohol pain. Pain from stress, pain from anxiety, pain from tension, all of the pain spirits, back pain, getting up pain, aching pain, pains in the joints, come out of there. You go now, demons. I cast you out in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. I cast you out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. I break your power. You come out of all of the spinal cord. Come out of all of the organs. I break the curse of affliction from organ to organ. Go from one organ to the other. We're trying to destroy every one of them. You come out in Jesus' name. I've washed you and purged you every area with the blood of Jesus. The blood is against you, demons. You come out of there in Jesus' name. You come out of there in Jesus' name. Every one of you got to come out in Jesus' name. Now, what I want you to do, we only have a few seconds now. Some of you are getting some deliverance from certain areas that I haven't called out. I'm just going to take a moment out, and I'm going to agree with you, and the elders here are going to agree with you. You call out your infirmity gently and quietly, and we agree, and we'll command those spirits to come out, right? So do that now. Now, you come out of there in Jesus' name. We agree with them. You come out of there in Jesus' name. You come out of there in Jesus' name. We break your power in Jesus' name. We loose the angels to chase down our enemies. We apply the blood of Jesus to wash those areas. We loose healing in Jesus' name. Restoration in Jesus' name. You demons, go in Jesus' name. You come out of there in Jesus' name. You come out of there in Jesus' name. We haven't missed a one. We haven't missed the one, demon. You got to go. Every one of you are bound and command to go in Jesus' name. Every one of you. Now, Father, we come against the spirits of generational unforgiveness. We cast it out. We cast out the spirit of unforgiveness. You go in Jesus' name. All of your co-hosts, bitterness, come out of there. Come out of there. Unforgiveness, come out. Revenge, anger, violence, murder. Come out of there. All unforgiveness spirits causing the infirmities also, you come out. We cast you out in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, come out. Every spirit of unforgiveness that has arrested our development, you come out of there in Jesus' name. We break your power. Get out of there, demon. Come out of there. You have no place in us. You find no place in us. There's nothing in us, the body of Christ, that agrees with you. Look around. There's nothing in here that agrees with you. You go in Jesus' name. You go. You go. You go. Now, the spirit sometimes that calls us to have the afflictions. I come against all the religious spirits. Legalism. Come out of there. Hypocrisy. Externalism. Religious bondage. All religious slavery. Religious murder. Lust and ambition for recognition. Lust and ambition for position. Lust and ambition for power and control in religious matters. You go in Jesus' name. You go. Come out of there. Self-serving. Come out. Selfish greed. No love. Religious coldness. No compassion. Robbing. Cheating. Come out. All false oaths. Rigid theology. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All the spirits that block. Blockages. Come out of there. All spirits that are assigned to obstruct the truth. You come out of there. God's given us ears to hear what the Spirit is revealing and eyes to see. So all you demons, you come out of there in Jesus' name. We break your power. We not only cast out the spirits of infirmity, we cast out the demon that holds the infirmity in. We break your power. You demons, you come out in Jesus' name. Father, we seek the truth that will set us free. We ask you, Lord God, to reveal to us, reveal to the people of God, the truth that will make them free, God. Lord, you reveal it to them right now. And I just agree with you and command those demons to come out of us. You can be delivered from everything, from an ingrown toenail to whatever. But you got to believe that you want to be like Christ. And Christ wants your ingrown toenails, your fungus, and everything else delivered. He wants the acne, he wants the psoriasis, he wants the dandruff. He wants the stuff between the toe. What they call that? Athlete's feet. I used to have that. I played a lot of sports. I don't have it anymore. God wants us free. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Every sickness, every disease, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of the liver. I pull those knives. I pull the knife of betrayal out of you right now in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Every one of you have to go. Every spirit that's arresting our development, trying to hinder our growth in the Lord, you come out in Jesus' name. Every one of you come out in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you that you're doing a washing in our lives, that you're restoring us in Jesus' name. Sister, you got a word? You got a word on some more spirits you want to get in the areas of infirmities? Anybody else? We all getting some deliverance? Hold that, brother, right now. The Lord's not showing me for you right now. All right? Okay. All of the infirmities in Jesus' name, all of those that we have called, all of their underlying spirits, all of the spirits that have worked together, have come together and have tied themselves together, right now we're breaking those tentacles in Jesus' name. I break those tentacles. We're breaking the multiples of those spirits. We break their powers in Jesus' name. We break their powers in Jesus' name and command every one of those spirits right now. We smash your army. We break your, and we divide and conquer you. We command all those spirits to come out. All demons of infirmity, you come out of there in Jesus' name. All the rest of the hidden infirmities that are waiting to manifest at a later date, you come out in Jesus' name. You come out of there in Jesus' name. God is really doing a work here. He's really giving us some healing there. Praise the Lord. He's really giving us some healing.
All spirits that are rooted in alcoholism, curses of alcoholism, deep pain in the lower back that is rooted in alcoholics and drugism, you move now. Come out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit, all the way down at the back, at the root of the back, all the way up the spine, to the left and to the right, you move out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.